1 Corinthians chapter 15 is going to be on page 961 if you're using a pew Bible this morning. We continue with our series of the Gospel for Messy Lives, but you could also say, since we're focused on 1 Corinthians 15, we are getting ready for Easter. And if you think about it, this is a good time. Easter is just a couple of weeks away. Next week is Palm Sunday. Before you know it, it's going to be here. One of the things that happens every year right around Easter is there are a lot of Christian films that are released. And you might have noticed this past Thursday evening, the film I Can Only Imagine was released. I was able to go and see it on Friday night. I have never sat so close to a movie screen in my life, so I was on the second row there. So I need to see a chiropractor. I need some help. And there was nowhere to sit. We had a bunch of folks. We were going to try to break up, but it didn't matter. I couldn't go off and leave them because there was nowhere to sit. So many people were there trying to watch this movie. And if you've ever heard the song, I Can Only Imagine, you know what it's about. I won't steal the thunder of the movie from you or ruin that if you've not seen it. But he's writing about a loved one that's in heaven, and he's talking about what heaven must be like, and he says in the song, really kind of narrating it, I can only imagine what that would be like. So it's kind of ironic that on a weekend when probably the number one movie in the United States is going to be about heaven and about a loved one being in heaven, during that same week we had someone pass away who did not believe in heaven. Everyone knows Stephen Hawking passed away this past week. Everyone probably knows that he was an atheist. He talked about how there is no heaven. And here's an article that ran in The Guardian a couple of years ago. I think they resurrected it this past week, where Stephen Hawking said, there is no heaven. It's a fairy tale. If you've ever read that article before, he goes through and he says, you know, I'm not afraid of death. You know that ever since, I guess, 1963, he battled with ALS. So it was always there. He lived quite a remarkable life, especially considering that particular disease. But he said, I don't dread death. I'm not worried about death. And here's the way I view it. I'm paraphrasing him. I see life as we're kind of like a computer. And as soon as the computer shuts off, that's it. So he talked about in this particular interview how he thought once he died, the computer's like cut off, and that was it. There would be no heaven, there would be no hell, although he didn't mention that specifically. There would be nothing. That would just be the end of it. And so it's interesting that as we had this weekend, we had a number one movie about heaven. We had one of the most popular folks within the world, really, who passed away and said there is no heaven. And so the question all comes down to, what is it that we know about what's going to happen to us in the future? In 1 Corinthians 15, you see that there was a time where people were wondering about these things just like we are today. And Paul came back and said, I want you to forget this notion of, well, what if the resurrection isn't real? Or what if heaven, you and I might say, isn't real? And so he goes through and he talks about what that all means in the passage we'll look at today. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Scroll down and let's start out in verse 12. And this is what the Bible says. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that He raised Christ, whom He did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. So this is what Paul is saying to some folks that day. And he's talking to them about, hey, if you say that there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Now, as you look at this passage, it may seem a bit strange to you to hear what Paul is saying. You remember last week we talked about how Peter saw a risen Jesus, James saw a risen Jesus, 500 people saw a risen Jesus, and Paul himself saw Jesus who was risen from the grave. And you'll remember when Paul mentioned those 500 that had seen Jesus, he says, look, a lot of these people are still here. You can go and ask them personally about seeing Jesus, though I'll admit it's been 20 years and so some of them have died. And so if you look at this very closely, Paul is saying that the people he's talking with are acknowledging Christ rose from the dead. And so you see that in verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, so stop, they're assuming Christ rose from the grave. That's not their problem. He says in the middle part of verse 12, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? So here's the problem they were encountering in their day. People weren't walking around like they are today and saying Christ isn't risen from the dead. In those days, people were acknowledging the people he's writing to. They acknowledged Christ rose from the grave. You can't deny it. Peter saw him. James saw him. Paul says he saw him. But the real deal is these 500 people saw him. That's what gets me, what gets a lot of the people in those days. But then they were coming around saying, but that was Jesus. Christ could not raise me from the dead or my loved ones from the dead and so forth. And so Paul was kind of coming to them and saying, I want you to get your mind around that and I want you to think about what that means. So it's almost the opposite. Today, a lot of people believe in heaven. But then they would turn around and they would say, well, I don't really believe in the miracles, or I don't believe that Christ rose from the grave. And basically what Paul is saying is, you can't have it both ways. The two are intertwined. Heaven is intertwined with the resurrection of Jesus. Your resurrection is intertwined with the resurrection of Jesus. And Paul wants to get it really clear to these folks. Your efforts are worthless if Jesus Christ did not rise from the grave. And so he's like, forget this nonsense of, you know, I believe in heaven, but I don't believe that Jesus rose from the grave. Now, they were saying something different. But his point was the resurrection of Jesus and your own resurrection are intertwined. You can't have one without the other. Now, it's kind of surprising if you really think about what Paul is saying. In verse 13, he says, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. So there he's saying, if other people will not rise from the grave one day, then Christ didn't even rise from the grave. What you and I are dealing with more today is people say Christ didn't rise. And what Paul would say to us is, then he won't raise you either. If he didn't raise Christ, his own son, you won't be raised on that last day. Verse 14, and if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. A lot of folks think church is a great thing. They think that being here and us being here is wonderful. And you've heard us talk about this. There's all kinds of studies. Here's one from Harvard that says if you will go to church, now the key metric is once a week, and we talk about this from time to time. If you're in church once a week, it's going to give you a health boost. And then there's some other research out there that says if you go to church once a week, it helps your marriage and it helps with other relationships and all that. And so there are actually people that are atheists. They tend to be a lot of psychologists and psychiatrists that say, you know, I want you to go to church. But this morning they're reading the Wall Street Journal or working on, you know, some cinnamon rolls and coffee and such. They're not at church, but they want you to be at church because they think it's going to help your health and it's going to help your marriage. Now, Paul would say to them, forget it. There's no reason to bother with any of that if Christ is not raised from the grave. And so again, he says, if Christ, verse 14, has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. What Eddie's doing this morning is worthless, Paul is saying, if Christ did not rise from the grave, and your faith is in vain. So he says, you're wasting your time. You'd be better off at the mountains or the beach or doing whatever. You would be better off doing something else than being in a church or having faith if Christ was not raised from the dead. And so Paul is just laying it out there. The resurrection is what it is all about. And if you don't believe in the resurrection, he says, I sure wouldn't be wasting my time, Paul says, essentially listening to me and listening to other preachers and so forth. He goes on and says, it's even worse. He says, we are even found to be misrepresenting God. We would be deceivers, he's saying, if Christ did not rise from the grave. Because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. So if Jesus Christ was not raised from the grave, then you're out here and you're peddling this gospel and you are a liar. You are a deceiver of others. And so really Paul is kind of implying how much more could be done with all that, that energy, that money, if you will, if Christ was not risen from the grave. Some have thought about this. You give religions more than $82.5 billion a year, and they tend to put up some folks that might have misused some of these funds, and others have gone through and said, so therefore, we need to go and tax the churches. And here's someone saying, if we tax churches, there's $71 billion that could be attained from that. Now, if you want to get down to some of these folks' motivation, some of them believe that actually there's a lot of charlatans out there that are preaching a gospel just to make themselves rich. But also, I suspect many of these people are thinking they're just teaching something that's not real. It's not accounted. It doesn't amount to anything. They probably don't think Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And so what Paul is saying is, really, guys and gals, if you don't think Jesus rose from the grave, you ought not to be going to church. You ought not to be giving to church, because it's all worthless. It's all in vain. It is all for naught. There is nothing to it. And so he says people like me and people like him would be misrepresenting God. He says that in verse 15, if Christ were not raised. And perhaps worst of all, if Christ were not raised, we would be lost. He says in verse 16, if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins. And so Paul says, wrap your mind around that. If this is all there is, then all this bad stuff you've done, you've not been forgiven of any of that, you are still stuck. You are still a sinner, and you've not been saved by grace. And so he says, you're still lost. And perhaps even worst of all, we're comforted by heaven when people that we love die. In verse 18, he says, then those who have fallen asleep, which just means those who have died, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. And so here's the thing. We're comforted by thinking about our loved ones who have died and are no longer with us. And we are comforted because we know that they're with the Lord and that one day we will see them again. He says, if Christ isn't risen from the grave, you won't be seeing these people again. You can't be comforted that these people are safe and okay. He says, because if Christ isn't risen from the grave, they're just dead and they are in their grave and there's no hope for them. Paul, we know, disagrees with that notion. He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, yes, we are of good courage. We're strengthened because, he says, we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. And writing this song, Bart, and I forget his last name, but anyway, well, I don't remember if that was it or not. But anyway, but his name is Bart. And so Bart says, you know, everybody always says that people in heaven would rather be there with the Lord than to come back. And this is what where this is coming from. Paul says we can be of good courage. We would rather be away from the body and to be at home with the Lord. He says we can look forward to that. For to me to live is Christ, he writes in Philippians, and to die is gain. So I'm going to live for the Lord, but if I die, I gain because I'm with him in heaven. In verse 21, I'm hard pressed between the two. People were always trying to kill Paul. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. So I won't just preach the gospel, but whew, it would be much better to be there with the Lord in heaven. And so what Paul is saying is, look, all these people who have placed their faith in Christ, nothing has come of them. They are lost if there is no resurrection, if Jesus did not rise. And so therefore, you and I, if we say we're adhering to the teachings of Christ, we would be pitiful. We would be very pitiful. In verse 19, he says, if in Christ we have hope in this life only, if this is all there is, And we have wasted all this time and energy and our resources. He says, we are of all people most to be pitied. Isn't that what most people think anyway? Why would you waste your time to get up early in the morning and go to church? Why would you not be out on the Saturday night partying? Or why would you not be spending your money on this, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow you die? And so much of the world just really enjoys this life, or so it appears at times, because that's like they're thinking this is all there is. And so here we have lived our lives as if this isn't all there is. And so Paul says, therefore, if there is no resurrection, we're some pitiful folks, because we wasted all this time when we could have been living it up because we were hoping in something better. Well, Paul says, if there is no resurrection, it is all for naught. But the chapter doesn't end there. Verse 20, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It is a fact. Freud and so many others have talked about religion as being a crutch, and perhaps some religions are a crutch, but Christianity is no crutch. Christianity is about facts. And so Paul comes back and says, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. And it's interesting, because where he was at that time, in probably the mid-50s A.D., they were close to the resurrection, and that wasn't really the argument he was fighting there. He was fighting more so of, are other people raised from the grave, believers raised from the grave. But in our day and time, people really doubt. And Paul is saying, no, it is a fact. You can know that Jesus Christ was raised from the grave. That's what we looked at last week. And here's the way to think about it. So he explains how Jesus rising means that you as a believer too will one day rise. He says, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He is the first of all who've fallen asleep who was raised from the grave. Colossians 1:18, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. So you can know he will raise you and your loved ones one day, because he himself raised. And so he continues on and reminds us that it's by one man that this resurrection came. Verse 21, for as by one man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. Who is he talking about? He's talking about Adam, verse 22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do bad things happen, period? Because of the fall. Because sin entered the world. And when sin entered the world, death came through sin. Over in Romans chapter 5, verse 12, Paul writes, therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, this one man's actions brought sin. And with that one man's actions, here comes death. Death came through sin. So because of that sin, you have within your genes certain diseases. Some of us have heart disease. Some of us have cancer. Some of us have Alzheimer's and diabetes and so many other things. And so no matter what you do, and I encourage you to eat your broccoli, but no matter what you do, we're all one day going to die. And you remember in the early passages in Genesis, it says, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and so-and-so begot so-and-so, and he died, and he died. And so the point is that one person after another person after another person died because of sin. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given, before we got the first five books of the Bible there. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses. One after another died. Even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. So this one Adam sinned. And because of that, there's been accidents, there's been disease, there's been trouble ever since. One man brought that upon us. So he says over here in verse 21, for as by one man came death, by a man, one man, has come also the resurrection of the dead. Verse 22, as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. So we get our sinful nature from Adam. We get our DNA, you might say, from Adam. But he says we can be made alive through Jesus Christ. Verse 22, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom of God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. So you've got Christ on the one, or Adam on the one hand, and Christ on the other hand. And so in verse 15 of Romans 5, he says, the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded by many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment followed one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. So all of us have been condemned because of Adam's sin. If we place our faith in Christ, we have justification through Jesus Christ and can one day be raised from the grave because of what Jesus did. Verse 17, for because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more also will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. And so Paul is saying the resurrection is real. The resurrection is something that really happened. Jesus Christ rose from the grave, and in doing so, he conquered death. And he begins to allude to that in verse 25. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So Jesus will destroy death. He says, for God has put, verse 27, has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is expected who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. In short, Christ is going to reign on this earth one day. And so he's letting us know that that is going to happen. And so in verse 30, he says, why are we in danger every hour? He says, you don't have to walk around and worry about death. He says, I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. So you need not worry about a physical death. But he says, when I made the Lord my Savior, I die every day. There's all kinds of things I would like to do or am tempted to do and I choose not to do. I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus if the dead are not raised? So he says, what have I gained? Yeah, I went through this conflict at this church, at this place in Ephesus. He was stoned. He had times where he was shipwrecked. He had people who abandoned him. He had people who betrayed him. What good is any of that if the dead are not raised? And then he says, hey, if that's not the case, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. And so Paul says, look, guys, I believe in the resurrection. I believe Jesus Christ rose. I believe that Christians will be raised. And I'm here to tell you, Paul says, that Christ will reign one day. And so as you think about this, it's important to pull back and to stop and think for a bit about how is it that the resurrection impacts how I live my life. You might say, Jesus is risen, so what? So what is, well, that means that one day when I die, I'll be in the presence of the Lord immediately, but my body will be here, and one day that body is going to be resurrected and reunited, and so I can look forward to that. But beyond knowing that my loved ones are saved, beyond knowing that I am saved from my sins, what does the resurrection mean for me? The resurrection means that I am always living with a future orientation. I am always living as if this is not all there is, because it isn't.
And so he uses that phrase, if there were no resurrection, then eat and drink and be merry, for tomorrow they may die. Tomorrow I may die. And so as you think about that this morning, I ask you, how are you living your life? Are you living your life with the resurrection in mind? Or are you living your life as if this is all there is? The world lives their life as if this is all there is because that's what they believe. Stephen Hawking believed as soon as you die, it's like shutting a computer off and that is it. And so many of those around us act as if that's what they believe. Party all the time because tomorrow it'll be over and when I die, that's it. Now, there's something that concerns me about Christians. It seems like a lot of folks that name the name of Christ also live as if this is all there is. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you may die. The resurrection is real. The resurrection dictates how we live our lives. It should dictate how we live our lives. Because it tells us, it reminds us that this is not all there is. And so however we treat other people, how we interact with others, how we spend our time, how we spend our resources, we should do each and everything in mind of the resurrection. That this is not all there is. So whether it's money and my giving to the Lord's work, or whether it's how I treat other people, I'm reminded this is not all that there is. I'll stand before a holy God one day, and I have to remember that this is real, what I'm reading in the Scriptures. It matters. It really happened. So you're here this morning, and you're thinking to yourself, well, what if there were no resurrection? More and more people believe that today. But what I say is, what if there was, and there was a resurrection? Note, the people Paul is talking to are not denying Jesus rose. They're denying that other Christians rise. He rose. And one day he'll raise those who place their faith from the grave as well. Let us live always with that truth in mind. Let it dictate how we live our lives. Let it dictate what we do, how we treat others. Let us remember Jesus is risen. And what that means for us. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to do that this morning. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Lord Jesus, please come into my life. Lord Jesus, I commit to following you until the day I die. You never prayed a prayer like that. Why don't you pray it this morning, right there where you are, or if you prefer, come to this altar and pray it here. Maybe you're here this morning. You're a believer, but it's important from time to time to remind ourselves this stuff about Easter, it's real. So let us remember the resurrection really happened. Therefore, Jesus Christ really will raise those who place their faith in Him. And therefore, let me think about how it is that I live my life as I go alone, what it is that I do. You know what you need to pray this morning. Why don't you pray it now, there where you stand, or if you prefer, come to this altar and pray it here.